The future of the U.S. labor movement is being fought over in different parts of the country. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Tom Perez, the U.S. Secretary of Labor. But first, we go to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is about to become the nation's 25th so-called right-to-work state. Republicans in the state legislature are fast-tracking a bill to Governor Scott Walker. He's a possible 2016 presidential candidate. The measure aims to weaken private sector unions by letting workers opt out of mandatory dues. As Aaron Toner of member station WUWM reports, Wisconsin Republicans appear to be following an anti-union playbook that's been circulating in the Midwest.
4 years ago this month, the biggest political story was Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's Act 10, the law ending collective bargaining for public sector unions. Thousands of protesters swarmed the state capitol for days, demanding lawmakers reject Walker's so-called budget repair bill. But state lawmakers did no such thing. And while Walker insists the policy has helped the state, he told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last fall that a second battle with big labor would be a distraction.
So, particularly on that particular issue and any other changes, substantive changes to Act 10, I just think that opens a whole other can of worms out there.
But that can is now wide open. Walker, who's been inching into the national spotlight as a presidential hopeful, says he'll sign a right-to-work bill. Opponents say his goal is to erode unions' ability to fund Democratic candidates and causes. But the governor argues that a right-to-work law makes Wisconsin more competitive with Indiana and Michigan, neighboring states that adopted similar laws in 2012.
This old piece of unfinished business on the part of the American conservatism has come back.
Nelson Lichtenstein is a labor historian at the University of California. He says the right-to-work movement started in the 1940s in the anti-union South and trickled west. Lichtenstein says in Midwestern states that have recently targeted organized labor, private sector unions have lost significant members and clout, and Republicans who control state houses and governor's mansions have made convincing arguments about union members getting more than their fair share.
And so these Republican governors have been able to push this through in a number of the states in the what had been the traditional heartland of American unionism.
So far, recent laws have passed only in states with Republicans in control. And those leaders appear to be following the same playbook. In fact, even some language in the new state laws is nearly identical to a model right-to-work bill drafted by the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, which seeks to advance a conservative agenda. Another group backing the movement is the National Right-to-Work Committee. Spokesman Patrick Semmons says it's about fairness.
We think that every worker should be able to join a union and pay dues to a union, but no one should be forced. So on those merits alone, we think it's worth passing right to work.
What's disgusting?
Union busting!
What's disgusting?
Union busting!
At a right to work protest this week in Milwaukee, retired steelworker Greg Gorecki says he can't understand why any working person would support a law weakening unions.
Unions kind of set the whole tone for wages throughout the whole economy. I mean, we set the wages for the middle class. So if you take away power from the unions, it's only going to drop the wages for everybody.
And researchers like Gordon Lafer at the University of Oregon's Labor Education and Research Center say Gorecki's right. At a public hearing on the Wisconsin bill this week, Lafer cited a study by the chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor.
What the most rigorous research shows is that all other things being equal, the impact of adopting a right-to-work law in 2015 is to lower wages by about 3% for both union and non-union workers across the state, and to lower the chance of getting health insurance or pensions.
Those supporting right-to-work present different data. Patrick Semmons says the policies lead to higher growth in private sector employment and income.
And, you know, certainly in the Midwest, they're looking for good jobs, and right-to-work has a good track record for that.
But many academics dispute those claims, saying they come from groups that have a dog in the fight. Still, warnings about spiraling wages have not seemed to gain much traction as the anti-union movement marches on. Right-to-work bills are now in play in a number of other states, including two with Democratic governors, West Virginia and Missouri. For NPR News, I'm Aaron Toner in Milwaukee.